you for these, all these this morning who've brought their gifts to offer them to you and share them with us, how they awaken joy and praises and awareness of all that you are. We bless you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Bob Weber used to tell me after many chapel services, he would walk up and say, "You know what? Our chapel services are my favorite worship services I go to all year." If he could have only lived another 10 years. You know, as I was sharing, I mean, they just get better and better. I was sharing in 702 yesterday at the gracious invitation of Jeff Barker some of my jazz poetry, which is kind of from another planet. And one of them I shared, I confide in the poem that I've never quite figured out the whole dance thing. I can't figure out which part of me to move when. It just, my body just can't figure that part out. And Dean and Tracy, 1,000 thanks for what you did this morning. Your offering of your disciplined, trained bodies offered to the Lord, and on our behalf, allow me, who cannot possibly figure out how to move like that, allow me to soar with you. It's just too much. It's just gorgeous. Well, finally, in trying to think about living this language, these words of worship, the language of worship, this is the last day, so it's got to be amen, right? I mean, we weren't going to start with amen, although the chorus to this gorgeous song did. Amen, the great amen. What's the 704 brother's name who was the presider at the table last night? Vince. He was so hospitable and just welcomed us into the Lord's presence, just ushered us right on in. And, you know, I've been in so many Eucharists that when it gets to the great amen, you know what the great amen is? I mean, we did it last night. When you get to the great amen, after the thanks is given for creation, for the work of the cross, and it crescendos with that doxological ending, and it's time to say the amen, and you get this weak, kind of barely alive amen. And I was so proud of us last night. It really stirred my heart when he got to the conclusion, and amen resounded in this room. And it was just, okay, that's when you realize that there's not just one celebrant. Jesus is the celebrant. And there's someone speaking on his behalf at the table, but we're all concelebrants together, and that's our moment to speak into that, to give our voice the amen. The amen happens in the Bible for the first time in the 5th chapter of Numbers. There are three or so different ways that amen is used in the Hebrew scriptures. Amen happens 52 times in the Synoptic Gospels, 25 times in John, and Jesus was the first one to use the word amen to affirm his own utterances. Typically, it was used to affirm the utterances of another. Another thing that I think is fascinating about the word amen is that the first time it was used to punctuate a prayer, when do you think that was? When Jesus taught us to pray. In the model prayer, in the Our Father, who art in heaven. That's the first time amen was used to punctuate a prayer. And Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this. So the amen is a big deal. I love this from the Heidelberg Catechism. What is the meaning of the little word amen? Amen means, this shall truly and certainly be. This shall truly and certainly be. So be it. Amen is one of the names, one of the titles of Jesus, Revelation 3:14. He calls himself the Amen. That's strong language, to refer to yourself as the final word, the Amen. The scripture tells us that in Christ, in Jesus, all the promises of God are yes and amen. Amen is such a wonderful, wonderful term. Now, if we're not just talking about, I want us to be thinking about how to use all this vocabulary of worship, the hallelujah and hosanna that Dan Wilt led us to think about, Maranatha that Nancy led us to think about, the Abba, the Amen, to get into these vocabulary words, into what we're saying and singing. But more importantly, we need to get the dynamics that these words carry into the way we live. Okay, what does that mean? Let me get really practical here for a second. What we're doing here in chapel services and in practica and anytime we're actually, what happened last night, we're not showing you how we think you should do it back home. That's not what's going on. This is, however frail an attempt to fire, kickstart, motivate your imagination. Every time we gather here, it's a different bunch of folks. It's never the same bunch of folks two times in a row. There's a whole different gift mix in the room every time. And so what you begin to do is ask the Lord, Lord, show us who we could call on to release them to use their gifts to embody what you're saying to us. And so what this is doing is hoping to kickstart your imagination, not which songs to use when you go back home, which psalm refrains to use when you go back home, how to do it when you go back home, but no, it's to go back home and say, Lord, open my eyes to the gifts that are here in my community, because they're different than the gifts in any other single community. Every gathering of believers is a fresh, living organism, a distinctive, unique organism. We did it in a house church for 6 years. It was amazing. There were only about 12, 14, 15 people at most. Oh, we had a few times we got up to like 25, 30, 40 people. But typically it was a little circle. And to just take, okay, what gifts are in this circle? And to release those to breathe, to magnify, to glorify, to embody the language of worship. And all of a sudden, you know what happens? Authenticity. It's called authenticity. It's like a little house church congregation can begin to find its own worship voice. Now, I love Chris Tomlin recordings. I love Hillsong recordings. But it just doesn't do much for me to visit a church and for it to sound like they're playing the Chris Tomlin record or the Hillsong record that's coming from the stage. I want to hear the unique, distinctive voice in that congregation, whatever it may be, because that's what would be authentic and motivate me. That would inspire me to engage my voice more authentically. Calvin Johansson, with whom I disagree about a lot of things, wrote in Music and Ministry years ago that a pastoral musician has two primary tasks. Musically. One, start with your congregation by meeting them where they are. If you're in a rural church and they like country gospel and Gaither songs, start there. Make that the meat, the core of what you're doing. And number two, stretch them beyond where they are. If it's a bunch of classically trained people, start with classical hymns and sacred classics. And then begin to stretch. Give them some Rashard and Tracy hip-hop Habakkuk 3. and you stretch them beyond where they are, but you earn the right to do that by meeting them where they are, by serving them, being their servant, not their agent of change. I want to end this with a story that goes all the way back to 1999. It was a day or two before our opening convocation. I'm seated with Bob Weber in a restaurant or a coffee bar. I can't remember if we were caffeinating or getting some lunch. And I said, okay, Bob, tell me what you want me to do as chaplain. What does that mean to you? What does that mean to IWS? He said, well, I want you to plan a half-hour chapel service to start each morning. And in that half hour, I want you to give about a 10-minute chapel talk on some scripture. And he said, other than that, just hang around, visit classes, take meals with the community, make yourself available, and if anybody needs any pastoring, just make yourself available to pray with them, to encourage them, whatever. Well, strangest thing, bear in mind, I'm in awe of Bob Weber. It wasn't like I thought of myself as a peer or anything like that, but I sensed that nudge of the Holy Spirit swelling up in my heart, and before thinking, I just asked him that John Wesley question. Well, Bob, if I'm going to be chaplain to the IWS, I guess I better start with you. How is it with your soul? How are you doing? I couldn't believe I heard the words coming out of my mouth. I said, what's going on in your life? How's your health? How's your marriage? Do you have anything you're struggling with in your walk with the Lord? This is priceless. Here's this man, a PhD, already a very revered scholar, charismatic leader. Without missing a lick, without missing a beat, he just opened up. He told me about his diabetes. He started telling me about his marriage. He started telling me about an area of struggle. And he said, you know, this one thing I just really, and it wasn't a notorious sin, it never would have made the headlines in the papers or anything, but it was a very real struggle for him. And I said, well, Bob, I don't fancy myself a counselor or anything like that, but one verse of scripture comes to mind, and I would encourage you to approach what you're struggling with this way. And I told him, and I said, and here's what I'll do. I said, I'll keep this completely confidential. I won't talk to anybody else about it, including my wife. I'll only talk to the Lord about it. But I will talk to the Lord regularly, daily. And after a couple weeks, I'll come back and ask you about it and see how you're doing with it. I'll offer you some accountability. And he said, great. And his area of struggle turned around within a matter of a couple, 3 weeks. Amazing. The reason I tell that story, what he did was an amen. He amened my call to vulnerability, to honesty, to accountability. And here's what's great about the way the kingdom works. Here's the guy who was at the top of the organizational chart. He was not afraid to submit himself to someone below him on the organizational chart. That's the people, that's the kind of amen people we need to be. People of the great amen. Willing to empty ourselves, not try to hold on to anything. Equality with anybody, office, stature, image, submitting, listening, laying down our lives. Let me call us, and I'm preaching to me above all. Let's be like that guy that founded us. Because in that regard, especially, he was being like the one who died to save us all. He emptied himself, took on the form of a bondslave, served us all. That is the kind of amen that we can give our parishioners, our congregants, the people we're working with, the people above us, equal to us, and below us on the organizational chart. Let's offer them amen. Because inasmuch as we're doing it to the least of his brothers and sisters, we are doing it to the Lord Jesus. Please stand for the prayers.